Please be seated. The relationship did not work out. He was not the one, she was not the one. All hopes and dreams have been placed in a particular job, in a particular house, in a particular situation. The dream house did not come to pass. The job did not work out, and the situation seemed hopeless. The church member had a teaching ministry within the church to a particular Sunday school class. It was in the 60s, and there was a small Presbyterian college in the town, and those days, you had to go to church. But then late 60s, that changed, and not only was he having some failing eyesight, read the fine print, but the guaranteed attendance was not there, and that role ended. A friend shared about going to a call situation where it was going to be multi-staff, and yet within a very short time, the lead pastor and the church business administrator left. All of these are scenes of disappointment. Just as those on the road to Emmaus experienced disappointment on their road, and Jesus met them there. From this story, and this is the tail end of the story, there are four takeaways. Jesus comes looking for disappointed people. Disappointment often comes from a situation where true hope has incomplete understanding. Third, Jesus heals disappointment by first reframing their understanding before any change of circumstance. And a final piece, encounters with Christ turn us back toward mission. Jesus comes looking for disappointed people. These are disciples, followers of Jesus, on the road away from Jerusalem. They're not one of the 11, the 12 minus Judas. But remember, at one point, Jesus sends out 70. And there's another point, there's a gathering of a couple of hundred. And others followed Jesus. So these are people who followed. Maybe when he came to town, they were there to hear the teaching. Then he went somewhere else and they stayed. But these are people who have followed Jesus, but they're not that inner group. And in fact, on the way, they're down and they cannot see Jesus for who he is. It's kind of funny. He says, why are you so down? Well, haven't you heard about what happened in Jerusalem? And with a straight face, Jesus is like, no, tell me about it. Let me hide my hands, you know. But anyway, you're kind of a bit of a comedy there. But he's there to meet with them. They're on the road, getting away from it all, or just getting on with life. And for them, as far as they know, the story is over. But here, Jesus walks with them. He does not scold them, does not say, oh, where is your faith? He walks with them. Disappointed believers are still pursued by Christ. Sometimes we think our disappointment disqualifies us, yet disappointment can be the place where Jesus draws near. And sometimes disappointment comes from true hopes with incomplete understanding. They say we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. The hope was not wrong. The timetable expectations were off. Again, expecting at this point and immediately a political deliverer. We often ask, me included, I mean, I'm not saying, when I say we, I mean me too, why didn't God answer? Sometimes the better question is, what larger work was God accomplishing that we could not see yet? Our expectations can become so specific that we miss God's purpose. Jesus heals disappointment first by reframing their understanding and then addressing their circumstances. It is interesting. I mean, Jesus could have revealed himself first when he said, "Have you not heard?" He said, "Oh, yes. And guess what? It's me." No. He spends quite a lot of time going through Moses and the prophets. And so the road is probably about 7 miles. Now, if I'm doing a brisk walk, I could do about 4 miles an hour. I doubt they were doing a brisk walk, so let's take about 3 miles an hour. You're basically talking 2.5 hours. Or 2 hours if you join somewhere into it. Let's say 2 hours. Having conversation, going through the scriptures with them. And only in the breaking of the bread did they realize who it was. Sometimes God heals our hearts not by changing the circumstances, but to see the story differently, to see it through redemption. Before he opened their eyes, he opened the scriptures. And this encounter with Christ leads them back to mission. They leave Jerusalem defeated, and they return back with joy. It says they went back that day. Maybe then they were going fast. The Romans are still there. The cross has happened. It has all changed because Jesus Christ is alive. The disappointment made them withdraw. The encounter with Christ sends them back. Again, the pattern we've been seeing in these encounters with God. Hagar, go back. Serve your mistress. Your son has a place in the plan. Elijah, go back. Prophesy. You'll have a helper. You're not alone. Isaiah, from this temple, you will go forth doing your job, and I've got something extra for you to do. Mary, in the middle of your ordinary life, you responded, "Let it be me." Disappointment says, "God did not do what I expected." And the risen Christ says, "I have done far more for you than you imagine." Jesus comes looking for disappointed people. The job did not work out. You're not where you thought you would be. Some of Christ's most meaningful conversations can happen when we are driving home from what feels like our biggest disappointment. We have to look back at times and see divine wisdom. Oh, that wasn't it. This was. As we see Jesus reshaping understanding before changing circumstances, it's like the apprentice who is working very, very focused on this work in electricity, apprentice electrician, and working in this one particular area and not understanding, getting confused. And the master electrician says, "All right, let me explain what you're doing here. And this is how it fits into the larger scheme of what you're doing." Not changing the situation, but changing understanding. The encounters with Christ send us back. Jesus gave them comfort and then gave them courage. Gave them courage to go back to the place where they were ready to quit. And his courage can redirect and renew us. Hagar is desperate. I see you. Elijah is exhausted. I will strengthen you. Isaiah is uncertain. I will send you. Mary, I have chosen you. Disciples, you are disappointed. You're mine. the couple who had come for the job and the house and the situation find a better house, one that met their needs far more than the one they thought was the dream house. And the job led to another job and therefore a better situation. The friend called to the church, that multi-staff church, and the staff dynamic changed very quickly and ended up being there for several years with a different kind of ministry than first anticipated. The relationship did not work out, but as often the case, a better one came along for both involved. The man saw his teaching ministry with college students ending. But someone pulled him aside and said, "You know, we have in our 2-year-olds, we need a grandfather. We have a teacher. But again, and there are children here who, yeah, they got grandparents in the church, but others are not from here. Try it for a year." And that 1-year experiment became 14 years. Something opened up. A person I talked to before, a friend shared about a challenging chapter and said, "Don't run away and don't run ahead, but walk with it." And thinking of Jesus walking on the road to Emmaus, that story returned to me. Sometimes God's greatest gift is not that he removes the road. The gift comes that he refuses to let us walk it by ourselves. When Jesus joins us on the dusty road after shattered expectations, even when not expected, Jesus shows up. Thanks be to God. Amen.